Welcome to Laugh Factory Live with Ian Ellis and Kimberly Marion. This week we're joined by a very special guest, my good friend Mr. Felonious Monk. We recorded our interview in two parts, one before he did a show and one after the show. Unfortunately, the first part got lost. I thought the file sent and it didn't, and I deleted the voice memo on my phone and didn't have a backup. So we lost a lot of great stuff. But the good news is that Felonious says dope stuff all the time. So you can go to his website, Stop at B. You go to Touch Vision. You check out the nightly show. You go all over the place and find amazing stuff from Felonious Monk. But we still have an hour where we're just hanging out, and he's a little turned up because by the end of the show, you know, he'd run into some friends he hadn't seen in a while, had a couple drinks, gets real loose, has a lot more fun. It was very political in the beginning, and I wish we still had that, but unfortunately we don't. If I find a way to recover it from my phone, I will post it up as another follow-up episode. In the meantime, my name's Ian Ellis. You can follow me on Twitter at Chicago Open Mic. Kimberly Marion, you can follow her at K Marion Comedy, The Laugh Factory Chicago at Laugh Factory _ CH, and go find Felonious Monk wherever he's at, man. Alright, peace.
If it seems like I'm a little tipsier than I was like 6 seconds ago, it's because I'm way tipsier than I was 6 seconds ago. Shout out to Matt Stanford.
And how many shots was that?
Oh, yeah.
Shots?
Yeah. Shots. Everybody! It was Makers.
Makers.
Four shots of Makers and three beers. Since the last time y'all have heard my voice. So that's where we are right now. And also, I talked to Hazel from Legion of Skanks, who said you should really come and do Legion of Skanks. I was like, you said that like I'm gonna hold out. I love Big J, I love Luis Gomez, I love Dave Smith, so here we are. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen, guys. We out here doing what we doing, man. This is great. But Ian Ellis is way better than all of them. KP.
Talk that talk, man.
Way better than all of them.
Hey, so I
get
will
down
not,
with the get down.
Let's I'm gonna put that as my ringtone. And
save that.
I'm gonna save it.
You know what? If you need to, pull your phone back out. I'll say it again. It's nothing.
It's been downstairs where a girl was so impressed by you. I was just standing next to you. She's like, "You're a comic." I was like, "Yeah." And she just went on to tell me how amazing I was, based off the strength of your.
She's like, based off the strength of him, you're awesome. Yeah, that's no. It was. Listen, tonight was one of those nights, man. I got a chance to work, and I got a chance to do a clean 8 minutes. And a dirty 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And I wish people loved comedy. Mm-hmm. Like I love it. Like I don't, you know what I mean? Like there are people who are like, oh, I enjoy going to comedy shows. Like you don't get it. Like I would die. I would absolutely die. Aziz Azar Usman always says to me, he says, if you can quit, you should quit. Yeah. Because if you can stop doing this, don't do it.
Well, why would you ever choose this?
Right. Like, why would you? This is to me, comedy is the homosexuality of careers.
Why?
Like, because why would you choose that? You know what you're dealing with.
Right.
Like, you must. This has got to be something that's born into you.
Yeah.
Like, if you said, hey, LGBT, all of that is a choice. Mm-hmm. Great. So you could choose not to do that. But if you choose not to do that, it shouldn't affect you negatively, right?
Right.
Same thing with comedy. Like, if I chose not to do comedy, I would be miserable. I would want to kill myself.
No, I totally feel you on that.
I would be a closeted comic.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't do comedy, I would be a closeted comedian.
I just want to say that I identify as funny.
I identify as funny.
Every time I bomb, it's a hate crime.
Right. Absolutely.
You guys get it together.
My pronouns are comic, comedy, comedian. So that's where I am with it. But yeah, it's one of those, like, and granted, nobody's ever kicked my ass for saying I'm a comedian. So let me be clear. That was an analogy, not saying they were apples
right,
to apples.
Right, right.
But the thing is, man, like, I would do this for free. And if people don't believe that,
and you have,
I did
probably.
Two guest spots tonight because I was going to be in the area and they were having a show. And so I did two guest spots. I
didn't just do that. You also sat in for your friends to watch them.
I sat in and watched my friends, man. I listen, I don't know how, like, the people who are students of comedy, the people who study it, the people who go back and say Moms Mabley and Lenny Bruce and da 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 da, but they're 22, 25, 27 years old. Those are the guys I like.
Yeah.
Leonard Oots, I respect. Like, if you're out there listening and you're like, Leonard Oots is getting too much too soon, kill yourself. Poke yourself, Tony, because Leonard Oots is a fucking a student of this shit.
Yeah.
I know him. On a personal level, that kid is a student of this comedy shit.
And the way he broke down.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
Pete Davidson. Student of this shit. These are guys who... Dan Soda, student. Joe List. Louis Gomez. Big J. Okerson. Like, guys that you know, but the rest of the world doesn't quite know yet. These are fucking comics, you know, man. These are crazy comedians.
It's
man.
When we had Oots, he shouted out his squad. You just did. Same thing. Who's your people?
Who's your people? Willie Lynch Jr., Bo Last Name Dacious. Like, the dudes who've been doing guys like in Boston, guys you might not know their names, but they've been doing it forever. Jonathan Giles out, Jonathan Giles out in Boston. Jonathan Gates, I'm sorry. Sorry, JG. Shit, that's another guy. But Jonathan Gates out in Boston, just dudes who have been doing it forever and might not have gotten the love that they should have. Artie Fuqua, like, no one would have known who Artie was if it wasn't for that fucking accident with Tracy Morgan. But Artie Fuqua is a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Loved, beloved in New York City. A monster. Greer Barnes. Keith Robinson.
Yeah.
Like, guys who made, like, comics know. Like, comics know.
You know what's...
But regular people might be like, who is that?
Yeah.
Like, he's a fucking monster. That's who. Keith's a beast. He had a stroke?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I hope he get better, Keith.
Yeah, shout out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Keep him on.
Love Keith, man. Keith is the reason that y'all know who Kevin Hart is. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there are people who have made it, and we don't know... all of the background
the
who, work.
The how, the why.
Right. We talk about the Neil Brennan, amazing guy.
Yeah.
You talk about the Chappelle Show, and everybody loves Dave Chappelle. To this point, right now, Dave Chappelle is at the apex. He's top three.
Neil's
all
brother,
over
Tim Brennan. Nobody
but
knows
Neil,
about him.
Tim
that
Brennan, Kevin Brennan. Like, Kevin. All of these guys who are... Kevin is at the Kevin Brennan, K Brennan 666 on Twitter. Like, I know... Yeah. I'm, like, these are people you should know. They're amazing, but they might not have had their break. They might not have got the TV time. They might not have got that one person who said, you know what? I'm going to put you on. Greer Barnes.
Oh,
we know
God.
Ashley
Ridiculous.
Larry. We know Donald Goins. Greer is one of my favorites.
Dude, I was about to talk about him, actually.
Man. That ping pong joke?
Oh, my... Dude, yes. Yeah. I remember I was just get super. That shit's so damn funny.
That shit is hilarious. Shout out to Greer, man. Greer and his brother, man, always show me love when I come to New York when I'm there.
Greer Barnes is the shit. I remember he had a special on Comedy Central, and that I had just heard it.
30?
And I just
he does
first
that ping
started,
pong joke on that.
I had just first started comedy, and I was just gobbling up, studying.
Yeah.
And my brother's like, "Who is this?" He's like, "Oh, that's the dude from the sketch from Chappelle." That's all he knew.
That's all he knew.
And then we watched it, and I have never laughed so fucking hard in my entire life.
Beast, Greer's a beast. So many monsters that people don't know who they are. Greer's one of them. William's one of them. He played the bus driver on an episode of Louie. Like, no one knows who he is, but if you go to the cellar, he's in that motherfucker murdering on regular nights. Kevin Brennan, murdering on regular nights. Like, there's so many comics that you guys don't know just because they haven't got an opportunity to get some TV time.
Yeah.
Or maybe they haven't had their own this or their own that. So we know Lorel. We know Gerard Carmichael, and then the next generation. And Gerard, let me say this. Gerard Carmichael is the fucking future. I said it.
I don't know. They keep saying he's the Messiah. I was like, I wanted the jokes were on point, but I wanted
say what you
want to
say. I want
to
say.
I wanted it to be.
No, we need to have this. I wanted. I'm glad you said that. Say it all the way out because I want people. Because this is the argument.
You are underwhelmed as special these days.
Here's where we are.
He is like a talented comic doing a sloppy.
But you know why I love that? Because you guys were here tonight. I did well partially, but also the thing is, you guys were here tonight. This is what real comedy is. Real comedy is not the everything is perfect. Not the every joke is perfected. And so this is, I think, what fucks up the rest of the universe. Everybody who sees comedy only sees the perfect comedy special. They see Kevin Hart with the lighting and the editing and all of that bullshit. And what Gerard Carmichael did was pull the curtain back and let you see the fucking how the sausage was made. Mm-hmm. He went on stage and probably 30 minutes of his hour
freestyle
was new.
Yeah,
it was like, I've never done these jokes before. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him. He did our podcast. Lips to Light podcast. And one of the things that he said was, he was like, people told me, well, like, you can't do that. You have to come out dressed this way. You have to do it in a theater. You have to do this. And he was like, who says that I have to do it that way?
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that I do the joke about millennials is because millennials don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And Gerard is 27 years old. He's fucking flat in the millennial age group. He's like, I don't care. They say I have to do it that way, but this is how I work every night. So I got them to take me working.
Yeah.
And he did a show at the Comedy Store working. Some of the jokes hit super hard.
Yeah.
And some of them were like, yeah. But if you hear those same jokes,
right,
and listen,
I don't care if it's back then.
The thing about him is, one of my favorite jokes from Gerard Carmichael, he didn't do in the special, and it's a joke about Chick-fil-A and LGBT rights. It's a great joke.
I've seen LGBT.
You don't even have to look hard. All you have to do is Google Gerard Carmichael and Laugh Factory, and it'll pop up. But the joke, he twists the idea of I was born this way into I was born loving chicken. Like, he's like, I eat outside sometimes at this Chick-fil-A, and people drive by and they judge me. And I look at them and I go, hey, I was born this way, loving delicious chicken.
Yeah.
And it's a great joke. And the thing is, there's so many voices, there's so many takes, and they're a whole bunch of hacky. You know what I mean? They're dudes who everybody does the same material.
Yeah.
And black people do this, white people do that. Mm-hmm. And then there are guys who have a take. And the thing about Gerard is, if we're judging him on whether every joke hits, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But the truth is, he has a take.
Perspective.
Fucking Lil Rel. Like,
if
people are looking at Lil Rel.
If you're going by joke hit, then you can go like, oh, you know, Jim Gaffigan's a better comic. Jim Gaffigan.
Well, I love
with
Jim
the puppets.
Gaffigan, by the way. Oh, Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham's a better comic. If you're going by Laughs Per Minute or whatever.
Right.
LPS.
Listen, Joe List. To the person Joe List gets it, more Laughs Per Minutes than anybody I've ever seen. Joe List, I just watched him. He was in front of me at the stand Saturday. And as soon as I saw what the lineup was, I was like, this is bullshit. Who fucking made this lineup?
Yeah.
It was Joe List. It was Dan Soder, then Joe List, then Ry Doon, the Vine superstar with like 3.5 million Vine followers. And then I was supposed to go. And I got bumped because Judah Friedlander came in. Shout out to Judah, who's fucking just bananas. He's a force of nature. But he came in, so now I had to step back 10 minutes. And I'm watching this. I just followed Dan, Joe List, and keep in mind, Joe List is getting laughs every 7 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
His material, what he's done is he's taken all of his jokes, he's cut every possible bit of fat out. He does vegan comedy. There's no fat in his shit. And he's just bam, 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 bam. And they're laughing every second, 7 seconds. And I'm going, I got jokes.
Yeah.
Also, but it's not that sharp. And he forced me to be sharper. Like, he forced me to cut bullshit out of my jokes. Judah has a whole aura that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Soda has his voice, which is fucking Bernays got this.
Yeah.
They call him monster voice. Like, this the guy is amazing. So there are people who watch comedy and they know Louis C.K., Bill Burr, Kevin Hart, Chris Rock. You know, they know the big names. They maybe they know Fluffy. They know, you know what I mean? They know the big names.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many comics that people don't know their names who are fucking like life-changing comics.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that Gerard was doing about celebrities being able to get away with shit because they're super talented is like cutting edge. We need to have this conversation shit. Like, we need to talk about, look, some of y'all still listening to fucking R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Some of y'all still stepping in the name of love. Y'all know he peed on the chick.
Yeah.
Like, y'all know. Like, this isn't... It's not like y'all are like, I'm not sure, benefit of the doubt. Like, y'all are like, nah, he peed on her. But stepping in the name of love is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to address that.
That's the reason why people were so awkward with the whole Bill Cosby
Same
situation.
Same thing with Bill Cosby. Same thing. And the great part about... So, for me, Bill Cosby is even more of an effect, because I grew up, like, when Bill Cosby first hit, I was in my teens. Like, I wasn't, like, young. Yeah. I was already in my teens. Bill was my guy. Mm-hmm. When Bill did Bill Cosby himself, that was one of the things that got me into comedy. It was Richard Pryor. It was George Carlin. It was Eddie Murphy in leather, two different specials. But then I saw Bill Cosby do this shit clean.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby himself, brain damage. Yeah. That shit made me want to do comedy. And then, so to find out that he's, you know what? He's never been convicted. So let me say that so that we can handle the legal aspects. But Bill Cosby's a rapey McRaperton. There it is. There it is. For all of you people who are going to say, you don't know, you weren't there. Fine. Fair enough. But I'm one of them people who believes in survivors.
We had 54, multiple stories.
54 is a lot, B.
Even friends that, like...
54 is a fucking lot,
one of my friends worked at a hotel, and Cosby tried to pull some stuff on her, and he has some creepy hotel habits, and I've heard it from multiple people.
Fam, 54 is a lot of people. If 54 people told you I slapped the fuck out of them, I walked in here and I said I've never slapped anybody, you don't have to look at the inside of my hand. You'll be like, hey, fam, I really feel like you slapped somebody. What we're saying is those 54 women need to prove that he did it. Yeah. We're not saying, hey, one man. You need to prove that 54 different people randomly lied on you who don't fucking know each other.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, I know black people are like, oh, we don't want to lose a hero.
You know what, though?
But that's, he's not a hero to me.
That's
I love the show, but he's not a hero to me.
That's one of the two things I was thinking about was, like, the fact that can we separate the artists from their personal life.
Yeah, I can and still watch the Cosby Show and think this is hilarious and think, oh my God, this rapey ass motherfucker made a good show.
Right. And then the other thing I was thinking was, I was talking to Ian about this, we have a tendency to make celebrities, especially when you're like a minority group, that hero is everything.
Yeah.
I was like, when you don't white have people anything. Don't have to, yeah, when you white don't people have anything, don't have to do justify what the crazy shit that whatever Johnny Depp does, they don't have to
David
justify.
David Bowie was fucking a 14-year-old in the 70s.
Yeah.
And we're allowed to still think that fucking...
Oh, Steven Tyler, too.
Steven Tyler. No, there was a whole clan, of people fucking...
Yeah, it's called the Illuminati.
It's called the Illuminati. But the thing is, we're different. And Dave has a joke where he was like, yo, black people gotta stop doing this. Like, black people to say some shit like, yo, Wesley Snipes got locked up for not paying his taxes. And a black person be like, man, that's bullshit. Blade would never do nothing like that. Yo, dickhead. That's not Blade.
That's Wesley Snipes. Yeah.
So Bill Cosby is not fucking Cliff Huxtable.
Right.
Cliff Huxtable never raped anybody.
Right.
Bill Cosby, absolutely. And I'm going to say it, because people are always doing, you know what, he fucking sue me. I don't have no money. Bill Cosby raped somebody.
Yeah.
Whether it was 54 or 4 or 5 or 4 or 3 or 4, he raped somebody. And this stop fucking making these mental gymnastics. Oh, well, he was going to buy NBC. No, he wasn't. He made an offer for NBC and they laughed. What happened was NBC was sold for over $1 billion. He offered $400 million. And you can look this up. This is not me making this up. You can look it up. Bill Cosby is worth right now $380 million. They sold NBC for over $1 billion.
That's not
close.
Yeah.
If you said, hey man, this shit costs $1,000, I said, well, I got $350. You're not gonna sell it to me.
Yeah.
So no, he wasn't about to buy NBC. He wanted to buy NBC. Those are two different things.
Yeah.
I wanna fuck a stripper, but she wasn't gonna give me the pussy. Consent is sexy. Those are two different things. Yeah. And that's what we did with Bill Cosby. And I understand, look.
And we have a tendency to do that with, like, everybody.
Listen, Oprah Winfrey could come in here right now and piss on all of that.
Our country has done a lot of fucked up shit, and we can't really own up to it.
We got to love fucking Abraham Lincoln, even though Abraham Lincoln said black people will never be equal to white people. But we got to love him because he freed us white.
It's our own tokenism, though. It's our own tokenism in some regards, you know? Like,
fuck them. Fuck all of them. The truth is, nobody's cool but KP.
Thank you.
It is.
That's what's up.
Me and Ian aren't even cool. It's what men, and men have shitty ass fucking privilege too.
All right, man. Comedy, top five.
Right now, living dead or alive?
However you want to play.
Dead or alive? Both? Ah, shit. I don't know if you guys know this, but I wear a Yankees fitted all the time. And I just took it off, and I got stressed the fuck out, and I'm scratching my hair. So, Carlin Pryor won 1A.
Yeah.
Just I don't separate the two of them. I don't for different reasons. I love both of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Now it gets weird because now I have to start thinking about it like from the standpoint of MVP. When you think about MVP, is he the best player in the league, or is he the most important player for his team?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Steph Curry. Okay, here's an example. Steph Curry this year did some amazing shit.
Yeah.
But also Russell Westbrook averaged 23 points, 10.4 assists, and almost 8 rebounds. Mm-hmm. That's just unheard of.
Yeah.
Now, even though that's unheard of, Steph Curry hit 400 threes, which is a fucking record that he broke from his own record the year before.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So now we're talking about that. Now it's subjective as shit.
Yeah.
So Chris Rock is important to me because Chris Rock says a lot of shit that no one's supposed to say.
Yes.
Dave Chappelle, I saw him live a few months back. Mm-hmm. And Dave Chappelle's so much better at comedy than all of us are.
Yeah.
He's just better at it.
Yeah.
He is good. Like, yeah, I like this joke by this person. Yeah. Dave Chappelle just did an hour and 30 minutes and I didn't hear him tell a joke.
He just speaks funny.
He just kept talking, and for an hour and a half, I kept laughing. And he did jokes in there, but he did the thing that Patrice O'Neal does where it sounds like he's just doing crowd work, but it's really a bit.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking amazing.
And so effortless.
It's effortless. Yeah. So my top three are Carlin, Pryor, Chappelle. That's my top three.
Yeah.
I throw Chris Rock in there just because of the work that he's done. He's done a shit ton of work, and all of the work that he's done is amazing.
As soon as his kid's getting to college, he's going to do a lot more. Right. But he wanted to enjoy the child.
But see, here's the thing. That's four. Now the fifth. Oh, shit. Who am I going? Louis? Am I going Bill Burr? Am I going Bernie Mac for the strength of his voice? Am I going Eddie Murphy, who I haven't even fucking mentioned yet? But Eddie Murphy is the Biggie Smalls of this shit to me, because Biggie Smalls had two albums.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as people like to say Biggie Smalls is the greatest rapper of all time, right. I'm like, how, fam? He got two albums. Like, DMX had two amazing albums, and then you saw the third one. That shit was trash boogie. Like, you can't. So Biggie was amazing for the first two, but what if Biggie never died?
Mm-hmm.
Would his third album been amazing, or would it have been DMX's third album?
And then the height that he is at is because of his death.
It's because of his death. Yeah. So Eddie Murphy does Raw, Delirious, and then he doesn't do any more stand up.
Yeah.
And then we hear the rumors and the history and the so people are talking about how Eddie Murphy is still one of the funniest people ever behind closed doors. But where's your third hour? And I'm not saying you need a third hour, but I'm saying maybe he didn't have any more material. Maybe he's hilarious in conversation, but maybe he doesn't have that third hour. And the reason I even put Carlin with Cosby is because Carlin had 11 hours.
Yeah.
11 full hours. Fucking Richard Pryor got four that I fuck with. But those four were that good that I'm like, yo, you know what? These four is that amazing. Now, I'm leaving out people like Moms Mabley. Yeah. I'm leaving out Red Fox.
Yeah.
I'm leaving out Lenny Bruce, who changed the way that we even think about this shit. I'm leaving out Charlie Chaplin, who was funny as fuck without saying words.
Yeah.
Bill Hicks who on a level of political humor was banana. Louis Black.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying that I know that they're there, but they're on the next tier. So who's my fifth guy?
The B team.
Right, that's my fifth guy is the part that I'm struggling with, because whoever it is, I'm disrespecting somebody. Whoever it is, because to me, Bernie Mac's voice was so powerful that if you could walk on stage and say, I ain't scared of you motherfuckers, and that shuts shit down.
We know Bernie, we don't even have a special.
We don't have one hour for Bernie. And that's the fact that he's in this conversation. The fact that he's in this conversation says he's amazing.
It speaks to his greatness. Yeah.
But Bill Burr is my guy. Bill Burr is my number five. And Bill Burr is my number five because Bill Burr, every special he comes out with, I feel like you learn something new about him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if comedy is, and listen, I'm leaving out young guys like Gerard. I'm leaving out young guys like Lil Rel, who's the best at acting out ever. I said that. He's the best at acting out. And that's a lot, what yeah. I just said. And shout out to Lil Rel. Like, that's a lot. Like, his act out game, his character game. Like, Lil Rel is capable of doing an hour without having a good punchline. You understand what I'm saying? Like, Lil Rel could absolutely do an hour without having a good punchline, because his act outs, his character development is so fucking amazing. But then we got these young guys coming up. You got the Yelena Dutzes, and I'm leaving out Dan Soders, who people might not have heard his hour, but I've heard an hour of this motherfucker, and he's a goddamn beast. Like, there's so many of them. Five is unfair to pick, but my five is Carlin Pryor, Chappelle. Carlin Pryor, Chappelle.
You're not testifying.
Carlin Pryor, Chappelle.
You will be held to this list for the rest of your comedy career.
Carlin Pryor, Chappelle.
I'm calling New York tonight. I'm letting them know.
Absolutely, as well you should. Carlin Pryor, Chappelle. I said Bird last. Who did I say was my fourth earlier?
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock. And I'm okay with that. Carlin Pryor, Chappelle, Chris Rock, Bill Burr. Carlin Pryor, Chappelle, wow. And listen, I'm not happy with that list just because I know there's so many guys that I watch at the house quiet. I'm like, I got a motherfucking monster. And then there are guys like Carlos Miller, who just, goddamn, I've seen that guy. I destroyed one night in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I mean, I murdered. There's absolutely no way anyone could follow me. And while I was taking pictures with fans, and they were like, oh my God, it's so amazing, you're the greatest. Goes on stage, and they were like, okay, we took our picture, we gotta go hear this, because this motherfucker's killing.
Yeah.
Carlos Miller's a goddamn beast.
Crystal Lee is not my favorite comic, but his crowd work,
he's a fucking monster.
Nobody can fuck with
him. He's a monster. There's a guy named, here's a guy, there's a guy named Bodacious in Virginia Beach. Not enough people know who he is. He features for D.L. Hughley all the time. And no knock on D.L. Right. No knock on D.L. Hughley, who's a monster in his own right.
Yeah.
But Bodacious will murder you. I've seen him. And I think about it from the standpoint of, I do tough rooms on purpose sometimes. There's a room in Brooklyn called Footprints. Mm-hmm. It's a West Indian club.
Mm-hmm.
All Jamaicans in the audience. They don't laugh at shit. They don't laugh at a motherfucking thing. And Freddie Ricks runs that room. Freddie Ricks also a beast. Freddie Ricks, Smokey Suarez. Like, so many fucking
Smokey
talent.
Smokey Suarez is hilarious.
Smokey's been giving $2, by $2.
I saw him on like Comedy Central. They were doing this one thing. They had like Eric Andre, Smokey Suarez. They had all these cats.
And keep in mind, I didn't mention Hannibal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's so many good comics out there.
Comedy is good, right?
For people who don't, people who have like three comics that they know, fam. Netflix that shit.
Yeah.
Hulu that shit. Google stand up. Just
YouTube that shit.
So much talent out there.
It's all
on
title.
Right. It's all on title. Listen, I gave y'all five names, and of the five names I gave y'all could look up 15, 20 hours of comedy, and y'all are missing so much.
Yeah.
If y'all just do that step. Fucking. Hannibal's got three specials out. He's got four specials out. He's got Hannibal Burris, Animal Furnace. He's got Live in Chicago. No, he's got three. Hannibal Burris. He's got another album on top of that. Yeah. And just doing, like, Hannibal's still popping up around here. Norrie Davis is coming up.
Hannibal always comes back, comes through.
Always comes through in the city. Norrie Davis is coming up. James Davis, the cat that was on the Real Housewives, Real House Husbands of LA with Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
James Davis is an amazing writer. He's amazing. Mitch Marchand, amazing writer. Something people don't know, Marlon and Sean Wayans, really good stand-up comedians, quietly. Ida Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many women that I feel shitty because I didn't name any William. I didn't name Wanda Sykes.
Yeah.
I didn't name.
It was just in town.
Yeah. She's fucking amazing. I didn't name Amy Schumer. I didn't name. God damn it. I'm feeling shitty because Nikki Glaser. I didn't name. Samoa. I didn't name.
Man, tell me who you hate.
Natasha LaGuardia.
You're giving too much goddamn love. You give me one comic that you can't fucking. No.
Dave Hallam. I'm kidding. Dave's fucking amazing.
That's Hannibal's favorite comic.
That is actually Hannibal when they were talking about up and coming comics. Junior Stopka and Dave Hallam were the two that he named. I hate anybody who does dead baby jokes in open mics. Fuck you, kill yourself. That's not funny. It's not edgy. You didn't create some new shit. Fuck, suck dick and get a Glock. I hope you kill yourself. I hope you play Russian roulette with a semi-automatic, son. There it is.
You were going to tell us a story earlier. I love, like, you know, anytime, you know, as you're getting over the wall, and you're certainly over the wall, you know, you start meeting famous people.
Right.
And you were going to tell us a story about Doug Benson.
Dougie B. So I'm at the Funny Bone in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Doug Benson's on the early show. I'm on the late show. It's one of my first times headlining back in the day, a long time ago. I'm headlining. I got 32 minutes, and they asked me to do 45, but whatever. I'm going to stretch that shit.
Yeah.
With cloud work. It's nothing. I'm prepared. So I'm standing outside on the patio, and the way it's set up, they have their showroom. It's really dope. They have their bar, and then you go to the club. But on the outside of that, they have a patio, and I'm outside smoking bogeys back to back because I'm nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got butterflies. Whatever. Doug Benson, who is a professional smoker, and that's a real fucking thing. Doug Benson does the 8 o'clock show, which means he's already been smoking since 8 o'clock that morning.
Yeah.
He does the 8 o'clock show. He finishes. He's still smoking. He walks outside in fucking beautiful Virginia Beach, Virginia, and he says, "Hey, you want to smoke with me?" And I was like, "No, I'm about to headline this show. I don't like to smoke before I headline. I don't like to smoke before I perform at all."
Yeah.
Because I fucked my setup.
Yeah.
He's like, "Hey, if you had an opportunity right now to fuck Jenna Jameson, would you fuck Jenna Jameson?" I was like, "She's a fucking superstar porn star." "Absolutely." He was like, "I made Super High Me, and I'm offering you weed. That's kind of like the Jenna Jameson of weed." And I was like, "That is it."
Damn, he pulled your card on that.
No, I was like, "That's a very good close."
Did you take the scales off?
I was like, "That is really amazing. I don't have any comeback for that." And I was like, "You're right." And what I didn't think about was the fact that Doug Benson has a different kind of weed than the rest of us. Now, I was born in 1972. In 1972, a dime bag was two fingers thick in a fucking sandwich bag.
Yeah.
But it was regular weed.
Yeah.
It was Reggie. It wasn't even mid. It was Reggie. And we all could smoke joints back to back to back and keep passing them. And you wouldn't get but so high.
Yeah, right.
Then they came out with this mid shit, which is a little stronger.
Yeah.
But what Doug Benson smokes is equivalent to heroin in weed form. And so I didn't think about any of that. I was like, "You know what, you're right." And I took the weed and I hit it boom, two times. I handed it back to him. Like, that's all I'm gonna do. I just wanted him to know that I smoked with him, and this is gonna be a great story in the future. I smoked weed with Doug Benson, bitches.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes go by because I'm headlining. This should be a host who's 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A guest spot, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
A feature, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So I got at least 40 minutes. Even if time is tight and the host doesn't do anything in between, I got 40 minutes before I go up. 5 minutes go by, and for some reason, the waitress comes out and goes, "Yo, you up?" And I'm like, "What happened? Did the feature leave? What's going on? Why are you calling for me so early?" Well, she wasn't calling for me early. 47 minutes had gone by. I was just so goddamn high. I didn't realize
time 47
minutes
ago
was time space continuum. I was in 1952 and 2017 in the same goddamn time. So I walked. I ran. I was like, "Pew, I got to get from the patio to the club." And I ran full speed to the thing in my head.
Yeah.
I did that in my head.
In
real life, I walked like I had a walker. Like, it was ridiculous. Apparently, I was walking through the crowd and blowing kisses at people. Like, "What's up? Hey, I see you over there. Nice wig." Like, it was weird. And then I finally got to the stage. Now, it took me apparently 3 minutes to get to the stage. And I say apparently, I'm joking. Truth is, I have the video. No one will ever see it. I kill you if you did see it. But the truth is, it took me 3 minutes from the time that the host actually said, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Thelonious Monk." Oof. There were 3 minutes that went by as I walked through the crowd blowing kisses to motherfuckers who didn't know who I was. I got on stage, and luckily I was sharp that night. You know what I mean? The weed didn't fuck me up. I immediately got on stage and just started killing in my head. And according to the video, I stood still for 5 minutes and looked out at the crowd while making goofy ass faces.
That is the next level weed. It was
bananas. And in my head again, right. I hear these people laughing. So
you
must have thought
you were doing next level material.
Dude, in my head, I'm like, they're killing them because I can hear them laughing. When I saw the video, there's like 5 minutes of real awkward silence with the occasional. Like, there were some people who were like, oh, he's doing some stoner shit.
Yeah.
And then there were other people like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
And I paid for the shit.
And I paid money for this dumbass motherfucker.
Yeah.
So that's happening. And then finally, I get into my first joke. But I did the punchline. First. I didn't set it up. There was no premise. It was just like, and it's deep, too. And it was just really weird. And I somehow made it through 45 minutes, but I think I made it through 45 minutes because in my brain, I don't know how long time was going on.
Yeah.
But the crowd was super, I have to imagine that they were pissed. The fact that none of them asked for their money back has to be because Doug Benson went on first and they were like, oh shit, we didn't realize this was stoner night.
Yeah.
This is our fault.
Yeah.
But for anybody who was there in 2011 at the Funny Bone, the night that Doug Benson did the 8 o'clock show and I did the 10 o'clock show, I want to apologize because that wasn't about me. I was high. I don't want to blame Doug Benson because I could have said no, but
I wasn't going to do that shit.
You don't
smoke anymore?
Nah, after that only one other time since then. So I've smoked two other times since then, but I've only smoked one other time at the show. Two times I've smoked since then. One time was at a 311 concert.
Okay, well, that's like a requisite.
You kind of have to smoke. Yeah. So first of all, for people who don't know, anybody who's under 40, 311 is a ska rock. They do
who
a lot of stuff.
Only songs kind of sound the same.
Yeah, and I mean, I love them. Peanut is my boy.
I do, too. I dig 311.
Yeah, Peanut is my homie. Peanut, every time he comes to town, he looks out for me. He makes sure that I get tickets to the show. He's an amazing dude. And he's super, like, just a good human being. But what happened, I went, and it was the first time my wife didn't know anything about 311. Like, really? She didn't know who Sublime was, 311, like, part. Sugar Ray. Right. Like, I'm like, how do you not know? But that was kind of bad. I was like, how do you not know who 311 is? You grew up in Oak Park. You should at least know who Sublime is. She was like, nah, we didn't listen to that bullshit. And I was like, that's hurtful. Don't call it bullshit. I'll kill you, but I won't because I need it. But we went to the show, and she's enjoying it. Like, first song, she was like, oh, shit, this is nice. And I'm like, of course it is. And we're drinking. I can't drink, then smoke. There's people like that. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
If I drink and then smoke, it's not going to end well. So I'm drinking. We're at the last part of the set. And the end of the 311 set, if you ever get a chance to go to the 311 show, there's this amazing percussionist.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They bring the drums up. And everybody in 311 plays percussion.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The whole group. So they have a drummer, but their lead guitarist, their bass guitarist, Peanut, plays. Even the fucking lead, the lead rapper, and the lead, everybody plays percussion. And they do this amazing, like, drumline type Nick Cannon set where everybody plays the drums. And at that point, a dude looks back and he goes, oh shit, you the Stop It Beat nigga. Thelonious Monk, right? I was like, word. He was like, oh shit, I fucks with you. I've been watching you since Stop It. Hit the bowl. And I was like, I kind of have to hit the bowl for the fans, right?
Well,
the fans say hit the bowl, hit the bowl. Now, remember, I haven't smoked weed in a while.
Yeah.
I forget that a bowl is not a blunt. You can't hit a bowl like you hit a blunt.
Right.
You hit a bowl like, and then you put the bowl up.
Yeah.
I hit the bowl like this. And my wife is looking at me. She was my girlfriend at the time. She looks at me. She goes, yo, no, God.
She
learn
that no part.
She knew that much. Yeah, she was like, oh, you can't hit it like that. Oh, no. She turned straight Kevin Hart, middle of the shit. She was like, oh, no. My husband's going to die. No. I hit the shit, and I'm like, cool. Now, that would have been fine. I handed him his bowl back. But as I do that, the dude was like, oh, shit, I didn't know you smoked. I would have been past this. He passes me the L. So I'm like,
I'll tell you one thing. Mixing the bowl and L.
Different, right? I'm mixing the bowl, I'm mixing the L, and I've been drinking.
Yeah.
So now I have to walk from, what's that island called? What's the shit called where they had a big, I can't fucking think of the name of it because I'm tipsy, but it's out there past, it's right past where the Bears play. Something Island.
Blue Island?
Nah, that's in the south side. I appreciate the fact that you're hood. But anyway, they were at this big stadium. We're sitting up there. Now we have to walk from there to Harold Washington.
Okay.
It's 2 miles away.
Yeah.
My wife says we need to walk. You need to walk off all of that.
Yeah.
And we, smart. I should have took an Uber because she's an idiot. As we're walking, it starts to bubble. Starts to burble.
Yeah.
You understand me? And my mind is going, you're going to throw up. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck, this is terrible. I can't throw up in front of my just new girlfriend. We've been dating like 8 months at this point, and I'm popping right now.
Yeah.
Like, I've taken her to amazing concerts. I took her to see Esperanza Spalding and Gregory Porter. I took her to see fucking Foreign Exchange.
She'll never go we're getting, to 311 again.
Right, I take her to see 311. Right, so this is all going. I'm like, yo, this is going to be horrible. We've done great, but this is going to be end poorly. We get on the train, we go back to my house, we get all the way to the house. And keep in mind, this isn't a short trip.
Yeah.
This is 1 hour 30 minutes, and I've known I had to throw up for 1 hour 28 minutes.
Oh.
This 1 hour 30.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning over like a Harold Washington, and I'm up on the platform like I make it all the way to the house. She's like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm like, I don't think you're gonna be able to make it. She's like, what? I was like, I don't think you can go to the bathroom before me. She was like, you need to pee? I was like, yeah, sure, let's call it that.
Yeah.
Fam, I threw up everything I'd eaten for the last 6 days. And it was horrible. And I'm going to pee again while y'all look. Just keep taking. It's fine. Just keep me in the loop. Just keep talking. No, don't stop.
No, we're going to make it pop.
You want to keep going?
Yeah, we'll just keep it. Yeah.
And it's hot. Then
I'll
pop. Just keep talking.
We are. What I like is that he listens to Sublime and 311. Like, I love that because, like, I was, you know, as a black kid, I play guitar.
You were?
Well, I'm not a kid anymore. That's what I'm referring to, you asshole. I was a black kid that played, like, guitar and, like, all that type of stuff. I was into punk, into that. And so I always like when I hear that idea of like, oh yeah, I like other shit besides hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the reason why when I hate when people try to relate to me through hip hop, I'm like, I like other shit too. Like, you get pigeonholed into that, you know, that little.
Oh, my first reaction was, how the hell did you end up at a 311 concert? But he's like, he knew the percussion.
He knew Peanut, man.
He wasn't playing around.
Peanut get busy on the guitar and the percussion. Interestingly enough, I actually did take a chick to a 311 concert as well.
You did the right thing. See, that's a real ass podcast when you go pee and you just walk back in.
Did she love it? Oh, fucking yeah. Like, she didn't listen to 311 until that song Amber came out. And so I was like, what, you didn't listen to 311? And she's like, no. So we went to a concert or whatever. And they did the whole percussion thing that you were talking about or whatever. It was a good time, man. And I did get smoked out at their concert. I've been smoked at quite a few concerts, but I think my favorite concert.
What's crazy about them is they have, like, so they have their pit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have their VIP for the older people who are like, yo, I love 311, but I don't think I can still get down in the mosh pit. And then we kind of sat over on the other side. They have, like, two sets of stands. Why can't I think of the name of it? Northerly Island.
Yeah.
Northerly Island, that's where we are. So at Northerly Island, they have, like, this big VIP section over here on the right.
Yeah.
Well, like, when you first walk in, it's on the left-hand side. And then over on the right, they have, like, these bleacher joints.
Yeah.
And the band gets seats for the people on the bleacher section.
Yeah.
So we sat in the bleacher section. But everybody's high.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in this building is high.
Yeah.
And they still have a mosh pit of, like, 38-year-olds. And I'm like, yo, Obamacare is not really kicking in yet for you.
Yeah.
You're like, y'all are taking chances with your hips and shit.
Yeah.
And they're out there just diving on each other. I'm like, yo, you're going to fracture your orbital bone, and then who's going to take care of you?
Yeah.
But fucking, Bradley.
You need to be flashing on the sign. Listen, you're taking chances with your hips.
You're taking chances with your hips. Listen, once Bradley died from Sublime, like, to me, 311 became that deal. Like, not to knock what 311 was, but.
Yeah.
To be fair, Sublime was the shit.
Oh my God, yes.
Sublime was the shit. Then Bradley was like, you know what? you know what makes this band really good? If somebody die. And I was like, fuck. She said, I love the way you move. And I was like, yeah. God damn it, I'll never hear that again.
What's crazy is, like, if you listen to their shit, the commentary he makes is so...
He's the shit. Those are the people who died. Like, that's why Kurt Cobain died. Like, when you hear people who make amazing commentary in their music, what they're saying to you is, I fucking give up on the world.
Yeah.
Like, I pull back on a lot of my stand-up because I'm like, yo, if I really get to that point, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's true.
Bill
though,
Hicks. I don't people like Bill Hicks died from cancer. No, Bill Hicks died from the world is from shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, the world. Bill Hicks died from the earth is shitty. Mitch Hedberg died from shitty earth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, like people are like, well, Bernie Mac died from shitty earth. Yeah. Like, Bernie Mac, these people who tell this truth, like, the best comics tell the most truth.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, Bill Hicks has that whole set that he does about marketing. And we ask, he's like, is anybody here who works in marketing? Fuck you, I hate you. And it sounds like he's just ranting and spazzing out. But that's a brilliant bit when he's like, you motherfuckers know that you manipulate the minds of regular, normal human beings who need to keep their $12 an hour, and you're taking
that anti-establishment dollar.
Anti-establishment dollar. He was like, he does that. He's like, I'm going, oh, that one was for the anti-establishment dollar. Yeah, that's a big fucking group.
He's smart.
He's fucking brilliant. And then he goes away, and you go, God damn it. Is there an Illuminati? Did they kill Bill Hicks? This
Do you
is know shit.
Any conspiracies?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I love 311 because they are like a We Love the World type of motherfucking group. I love them. I've always teared it like, and Peanut, if you're listening, I apologize, but I've always teared it like Sublime, 311, and then all of those groups under that, like Sugar Ray and all of that stuff. Like, yo, would followers.
Yeah.
Like 311 was original. 311's been out
for a long
fucking
time.
25, 26 years. We're talking about 89, 90, 91. So it's not like they're new. They followed Sublime. It's like they came up at the same time. It's just Sublime might have had a little more of a screwdriver in your back.
Yeah, and they had a little bit more edge.
They had a little more edge. Like, honestly, when you're listening, you're like, yo, these motherfuckers saying I know because of KRS-One.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Like, he had a song, the date rape joint.
Yeah,
and, like, they had a lot of shit.
He had the joint time. About the LA riots.
But the LA riots. He had this the whole song about busting the dude. Had all of that. So you had Sublime, who was like super political, and 311, who's super party. But Sublime, the funny part about Sublime is Sublime was like really woke as fuck.
Yeah,
but 311 was woke as fuck. They just didn't put it in their music.
Yeah,
like if you know Peanut. Peanut is like super, super aware of everything that's going on in the world. This guy loves human beings. Yeah. And Peanut is just like...
How do you know Peanut?
He reached out to me one day on Twitter on some fluke shit. Like,
yeah.
Yo, I watched the shit that you tweet, and I saw your videos, and I was like, this is crazy. I'm like, all right, Peanut. Like, this happened to me a lot, though. Like, Peanut fucks with me. Everlast from House of Pain fucks with me.
His solo shit, man.
Dude, all that Whitey Ford shit. He sent me a video before it dropped of a joint that he did like 3 years ago, and that's when I was like, yo, I fuck with it. Like, I'm old, so I remember Jump Around.
Yeah.
Like when it first hit the radio, I was like, that's great. I remember Everlast from Everlast, Last Forever. That's why I'm number one. I got the knack. But this new, this Whitey Ford, this older, I got a daughter with cystic fibrosis and da 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 da. Like, this guy is
why
different.
They love like David Bowie so much is he never went with what anybody did, and
he
forever has to reinvent himself and say, this is where the music's taking me. I don't really care if you
this is
dig
who
it
I am. Right. Not I'm trying to stay on what's hot in the streets, but this is who I am. Like that, I have his
blues is what I'm doing right now.
Look, I have acoustic album. Like, I paid for it.
Yeah.
Like, I fuck with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got Black Moses. And the what I love about that is the acoustic album, all he does is say the name of the song and then go right into it.
Yeah.
And he's like, Black Moses. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? This is the greatest thing ever. And so
there's so much great music out there. Just like comedy. Like, if you're a black person and you only listen to, you know, watch black comedy, that's cool. I get it. But you're missing some shit.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up on hip-hop. Like, when I say grew up on it, I was born in 72. So I heard Sugar Hill Gang when they dropped.
Yeah.
The first time Sugar Hill Gang was played on the radio, I was listening to the radio. I was in Sugar Hill like a week ago. Like, I'm the history is there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pissed off right now because African Bambaataa got accused of molesting a kid. Like, it's a lot of shit. Yeah. Like, that. But I didn't just listen to that. I listened to David Bowie. I listened to fucking Spandau Ballet. You know what I mean? I listened to fucking... Hall & Oates is my shit.
Yeah, like,
you
know what I'm saying? Shit.
Fucking Adam Ant, like whatever, whatever was pop. Twisted Sister. I fucking met Dee Snider. I met Dee Snider just walking down. Fucking, he's walking down the street. He's in Chicago.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I was like, Dee Snider. He was like, yeah. Just fucking, just give me the fucking rock outside. Yeah. He was like, yeah. I was like, we're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it. We took a dope ass picture together. Like, we came up during an era where MTV popped when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So songs that I would never listen to, I was like, I gotta listen to. Right? Like, I wouldn't have listened to Big Hair Metal. I wouldn't have listened to fucking... I wouldn't have listened to Van Halen, honestly, if it wasn't for MTV. But MTV existed. So now I'm listening to Van Halen and Twisted Sister, and I'm listening to Rat. And I'm listening to fucking Metallica.
Or
and I'm
even listening to this. Take you back to shit that you didn't even realize was influential and stuff. Like, I got into, I remember when Red Hot Chili Peppers, Under the Bridge came on. And I was like, oh, I gotta listen to these guys.
No,
and then they were talking about, like,
so many R&B songs were influenced by that.
Give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away now. Yeah.
Give it away, give it away, give it. Just
Busta Rhymes used that as a,
Busta Rhymes down. Yeah. MLP, all of this stuff is influenced by. So this shit is cyclical.
And they were influenced by
Aerosmith,
Funkadelic and
Chicago.
Yeah.
All of these groups, like you listen to Run DMC and Aerosmith together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was when we realized, like, rock and rap was the same thing. And it's somewhere in the early 90s.
It was like the Justice League, where you're like, oh, they're in the same universe?
Right.
They can hang out with each other?
They can hang out with each other. You got fucking Steven Tyler hanging out with Rev Run, who's a reverend now. Like, this is the era we grew up. Like, fucking, you got LL Cool J, and people didn't even know what he was doing at the time. LL Cool J did a go-go song, and no one knew it was go-go because Rick Rubin was that fucking bananas.
Yeah.
But Rock the Bells is a go-go song. He's using all the doom 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 doom, and he's doing all of the drums, the congos from. Because Chuck Brown was big right back then.
Yeah.
And people don't even know that Chuck Brown's songs were go-go at the time. Because it had bass and it had lead guitars. And so, I mean, music was different. So when I listen to 311, people are like, oh, you listen to white shit? I'm like, no, I listen to good music. I listen to good music. I listen to fucking... So when you like, oh, we got Chumbawamba, I'm like, no. No, that's not the same thing. No. So, I mean, look. That's how I am on comedy. If you're funny, I don't give a fuck where you're from. If you're Des Bishop from Ireland, if you're Ted Alexandro, if you're fucking Big J Okerson, whoever you are, if you're fucking funny, what makes you funny is that you can make me relate to some shit that I might not understand. Fucking Dan Soder's from Colorado. I laugh my ass off at him. I've never been to Colorado. But I can relate. You know what I mean? Like, that's make me relate to the shit that you're doing. Bill Hicks, Bill Burr from... Bill Hicks is from... Fuck, I don't even know where the fuck he's from. I know he popped
Texas.
Off in Texas. But you know what I mean? Bill Burr is from Boston.
Yeah.
Like, I hated Boston growing up. Like, as a Yankees fan, you know, fuck Boston. They can kill themselves.
Yeah, I'm Chicago White Sox
fan. But then you hear... Right. You hear Bill Burr and you're like, nope, I get it. No, it's all fine. And this is a white guy who's doing jokes about black people jumping in vats of lotion and people saying black don't crack. Nah, it cracks, but they fucking lather themselves in lotion. I'm like, it's true, because I do that. I be like, I got shea butter on me right now. I got coconut oil in my balls. It's fine.
I think it's getting to like the root and the core of every human experience.
That's
versus,
what makes it amazing.
Yeah.
That's what makes it amazing. That's why Richard Pryor could affect white people in a way where it wasn't just looking at, they weren't,
Richard Pryor made it so that white people weren't just looking at black shit and saying, I like cool black shit.
Right.
Richard Pryor let you know what it felt like.
He humanized pain.
He humanized pain. The joke where he was like, he acknowledged, he was like, oh, y'all think I didn't hit them jokes?
Yeah.
Y'all think I didn't hit them jokes? Let me show y'all something. And he lit the match. Yeah. And then this is Richard Pryor running down the street. When you can be that vulnerable on stage, like Richard Pryor does a joke about sucking dick.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, you can't just suck dick. If you're a straight man, don't suck dick. It's just addictive.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing, son?
Yeah.
Like that kind of vulnerability where you like, I don't give a fuck if they call me gay.
Yeah.
This joke is hilarious. I have to get this off.
Mm-hmm.
This joke about my parents, my grandmother being a madam and my mother turning tricks and my dad being this. Like a lady told me tonight, don't ever tell that joke about your dad. You were out there.
Yeah.
I was saying, so the lady was like, don't tell that joke about your dad smoking crack. I was like, fuck that. That's real. My dad smoked crack. My dad used to knock on my window at 3 o'clock in the morning and ask me could he borrow $60. At the time, I was making $3.75 an hour. And if you understand the math, $3.75 an hour, if I was working 40 hours a week, and I wasn't because I was in high school, but if I was working 40 hours a week, is $160 max. And it's not that because it's $375. So I'm still in extra money there. Plus, minus taxes, I was bringing home like $92. My dad would knock on his window ask me for my check, basically. Yeah. I was working like 22 hours. He was taking the whole check so he could smoke crack. That's a real thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
For you to tell me not to say that on stage is for you to tell me to lie.
Yeah, and
it's
I think
just hide. It's you're asking me to lie.
Yeah, and I think people feel as like, oh, I can't air my dirty laundry. And I'm like, y'all motherfuckers don't... Yeah, first off, that's comedy, but also, a lot of motherfuckers don't even have privacy anymore anyway.
No, everybody Snapchat me whole life, yo.
Most cons be dead at the window. All right, so where can they find you at, man?
You can find me everywhere. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mom, I got the X if you're into getting drugs. I'm kidding about that. Shit, I forgot. Statute of limitations ain't passed. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Felonious Monk, M-U-N-K. If you put that in, I'll pop up either way. You
can find me on the Nightly Show.
Stop watching me on the Nightly Show. Catch me on. Go to Bands in Town and look up Felonious M-U-N-K. Podcasting everywhere. Blips the Life podcast is popping. I was just on Dave Smith's Part of the Problem podcast. I'm coming up on other podcasts. I do everything, man. I'm out here. You catch me at Second City if you're in Chicago on Wednesday nights at Afrofuturism. That shit is amazing. It's some changing the game type.
I gotta get
shit
out to that. I can't wait to come on.
It is fucking amazing. Saturday nights, I'm at the Revival on 1160 East 55th Street in Chicago. That's in Hyde Park. It's an amazing venue. We're also bringing Afrofuturism now to the Promontory, which is on 53rd.
So it's just
fucking, we're doing everything, man. Like the goal right now is for y'all to understand, for everybody out there listening, y'all should understand we are changing the parameters of how you do this shit. Like, yeah, I can stand up on stage flat footed and make you laugh, but I can also write sketches and do sketches and act and yell at you and whisper to you, and that's it. Like, I'm in a relationship. Sometimes my wife yells at me. All right, she doesn't, but sometimes she raises her voice a little bit, like a half an octave. You know what I mean? But we also we go out and we have fun, and then sometimes we sit in the house quietly and watch the incredible Kimmy Schmidt. Like, life isn't this narrow shit, man. Come out and watch all of this. So find me at Felonious_Monk. Find Ian Ellis at Chicago Open Mic. Yeah, Chicago Open Mic. Find KP
at K Marion Comedy.
And find yourself, motherfucker. Stop fucking Googling bullshit and figure out who the fuck you are. You know what I mean? You out this motherfucker telling me that your mama don't like gay people. The fuck they got to do with you? You do. Tell the truth. Your nipples get hard when you see another chick's nipples. So be honest with yourself. You're lesbian. It's cool.
It really is. And if you are a lesbian,
holla at KP.
Holla at me, KP man.